A very good Monday. Welcome to today's edition of the Maya Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature agricultural news reports, I'll bring you national and regional agricultural news headlines. And I'll start with regional ag news right after this.
AgroPlante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
There are plentiful supplies of specialty carrots in California. Matt Hiltner of Baby Farms adds that the carrot quality looks strong as well, and its supplies are pretty consistent, if not slightly up, over this same time last year. Babe Farms grows its baby bunched carrots in Santa Maria, California, including its baby bunched orange or French carrots, as well as baby bunched yellow, white, purple, and pink carrots. It also has bunched round or thumbelia carrots, though those supplies are more limited right now. He says the best two sellers are the straight French pack and a mixed pack, which includes multiple colors. On top of that, it has a hand-peeled carrot pack that is grown in South Baja, which also has a mixed color or all orange French pack. He says it's important for them to have plenty of options available to appeal to all types of restaurants and food service divisions. As for demand for carrots, he says it is good. Prices have come down a little bit, noting it's partly promotional pricing, particularly with Easter ahead and the ample supplies that have lowered prices. He says it's a big time for carrots in general, so they're coming into good supplies at the right time. A lot remains up in the air as the summer bell pepper season approaches for the industry, according to Kevin Batt, category director of greenhouse for OPI. He says only time will tell what's going to happen in California, given a recent weather challenges. Currently, the bulk of pepper volume is out of Mexico, while Ontario, British Columbia, and Alberta, Canada are beginning to roll out. In addition, Florida has pepper production. However, Batt does note that there has been some weather issues in Mexico, including cool temperatures, which could mean production ending a tad bit earlier this year. California is the world's largest producer of almonds, contributing 80% of the globe's almond supply in 2020. Almonds raked in around $5 billion for California's farmers in 2021. However, Californian almonds have not likely escaped injury from the recent deluge of rains, despite a single nut needing 1 to 3 gallons of water to grow. Farmers instead warn the upcoming harvest might not produce enough nuts to meet demand. Michael Easterbrook, managing director of nut price indexing company Stratamarkets, estimates that almond wholesale prices went up 25 to 50% in late February after the first round of storms hit California. He says prices have leveled in recent weeks, but attributes the bulk price hike to extreme weather. Easterbrook is talking about the bulk wholesale prices for almonds, not the retail price for things like a bag of nuts or a carton of almond milk at the grocery store. Instead, almond retail prices may fluctuate based on numerous factors, including regional pressures or inflation. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey discusses near to above record snowpack totals in the Sierra Nevada mountain range and its potential to replenish water supplies in California reservoirs.
It does appear that we have a record-setting snowpack in the central and southern Sierra Nevada. Things are still very good in the north, not quite in record territory. But just to look at those April 1st numbers from the California Department of Water Resources, we see an average of 61 plus inches of water equivalency in that Sierra Nevada snowpack averaged from north to south across the region. And that is far above 235% of the historic average of about 26 inches, breaking records that had been set during the historic El Nino of 1982-83. Even in the north, we have close to 60 inches banked in the snowpack there. It's not quite twice the typical number there, but again, still a very impressive number. You see, reservoirs are actually about average for this time of year. One of the reasons for that is because water managers have had to allow for room in the reservoirs to look ahead to this snowmelt still to come. You have to leave a little bit of room to make room for all of the snow that has still to melt over the next couple of months.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey. Many California farm fields are soaking wet. Asparagus farmers can't get into fields to harvest their produce. Tomato growers have greenhouses bursting with seedlings, but it's too wet to transplant them. The planting timeline for lettuce keeps getting moved as fields stay drenched. The situation is a reversal of last year's drought. California has been hit by a large amount of water over the winter, with more than a dozen atmospheric rivers pouring in more than 78 trillion gallons of water on a state. Not being able to plant now will cause problems when harvest begins. With the state's tomato growers producing 2 million pounds of tomatoes a week at the height of harvest. Many growers believe that this year's harvest is likely to get backed up. As plant-based and vegetarian meals continue to gain in popularity, world-class athletes are helping to lead the trend by abandoning traditional meat protein-based diets for plant-based ones and touting their benefits for health and athletic performance. Powered by Plants, How World-Class Athletes Are Changing the Way We Eat is a special two-hour educational session at the Organic Produce Summit 2023 that will explore how athletes have switched to plant-based diets and the positive benefits they have seen in their performance, health, and quality of life as a result. Panelists for the session will include Robert Cheek, a champion bodybuilder and New York Times bestselling author of Plant-Based Athlete, Derek Morgan, former National Football League linebacker for the Tennessee Titans, Ella Majors, renowned coach and fitness expert, Dr. Jim Loomis, medical director at Barnyard Medical Center in Washington, D.C., and former team internist of the St. Louis Cardinals baseball team, and Jason Robble, a world-renowned leader in organic raw vegan cuisine, culinary education, and health entertainment.
April is when growers really need to start taking a hard look at their water situations and irrigation, but approaching this will certainly look different this year after historical winter precipitation and snowpack. UCCE Orchard Systems Advisor Franz Niederholzer said the situation right now for growers isn't even comparable to last year.
On this date last year, think what your orchard looked like, where orchard development was. We already had navel orangeworm biofix, egg biofix. You know, it was a completely different, same date, different world. A couple of years back, they planted rice really late. And they were talking about planting rice because nobody thought about planting rice past June 1st. They were talking about, well, it's May 35th today, as far as rice planting goes. Right now tomorrow will be April 1st, but it might as well be, you know, March 12th or 15th, as far as the development and the phenology of the term that represents the development of the crop over time. We're 3 weeks behind. It has been wet, but it's really been cool. And temperature drives development. So it's later than the calendar says it's late, but it's not as late as you think based on where the trees are and the nuts.
Thinking about the bottom line and almond prices, the improved water situation could help growers out a lot and keep them out of the danger zone.
There's better quality water available, surface water available, hopefully for more growers. I don't know the whole state situation, but in the north state, particularly on the west side where the federal programs are providing, at the moment, I believe 70 to 80% of contract. That means, and hopefully maybe 100%, we'll see, but you've got better quality water. You don't have to pump from as deep in many of the situations. So you're saving, your water's gonna cost less this year. It's gonna be better quality. You're gonna have less salinity in the ground. So your trees are not gonna be fighting that added stress of water stress that's really just comes with salinity. It's got the potential to be with what comes through this cool, wet spring, a good year. Save on cost for water, save on soil quality, because you don't have the salt there and the boron. Have to be careful about if we have a whiplash year, we're going from cool spring to hot summer. You want to be really thoughtful with your root zone health right now. If the trees have been, in a lot of water, you want to be really careful as to the timing of your irrigation so that root zone's got a chance to recover. Check with your PCA about phytophthora management strategies. Jim Aniskavich has done a lot of great work on newer materials, resistance management alternatives for phytophthora in tree crops. Check with your PCA. Consider the cost, because I know many growers are certainly up in the Sacramento Valley. were hit hard by frost last year, so they're working with limited budgets. You have to decide, you know, given your rootstock and the wetness situation, what's your risk? Those are things that you can talk to your PCA about.
The wetter environment also creates a more favorable scenario for diseases relevant to almonds. And although cooler temperatures have kept the usual suspects below average levels, other diseases that prefer this temperature range may come into play.
Blossom blast likes cool, wet springs. Green fruit rot, jacket rot likes cool, wet springs. So I'm hearing not much in the way of brown rot, which takes warmer temperatures, 58 degrees and above, but jacket rot, which likes those cooler temperatures, and some blast showing up. So we'll see how the rest of the spring goes. To date, growers have put some sprays on, I think more lately as you've got more leaf area out there. If we move to warmer temperatures and we still get rain, those are going to be potentially infection periods. Jim Adaskevich and others point out that, particularly Jim, point out that the most important sprays for rust and scab, shot hole for that matter, are to go on ahead of rain when you see the very first glimmer of infection in the orchard. When you can find one rust spot, one leaf with rust on it out of 100, and there's rain coming, that's the spray you've got to get on. You might have not put one on, and you know, that let that one spot in. That's okay, but the next one you've got to clean up. Same with when the scab lesions on the green shoots start to sporulate. When that dark ring shows up around the lesion, that's a spray that's got to be done ahead of rain. It's the rain that spreads the infection, but if you can see the spores, you can see the environment and the presence of the organism. That's the spray you shouldn't miss. Otherwise, it will cost you. And finally, although it's getting, depending upon the right about now, shot hole. If you can see the shot hole on the leaves and the spordokia, the dark spots in the middle of the shot hole, it hasn't punched out yet, still in there, and rain's coming, there's a risk of shot hole getting spread. So I don't know if it necessarily calls for more sprays, but it certainly calls for attention to the possible need for it. And in case if the spores are there, it will be difficult if it's not taken care of, or the potential for being difficult significant if it's not taken care of.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Jahlstrom.
Soil and Crop Incorporated is your number one resource for sustainable nutrition. Growers are faced with difficult challenges, and Soil and Crop Inc. has the experience, fertilizer, and biological portfolio to dramatically increase yield and performance in your troubled orchards and fields. Contact Soil and Crop Incorporated today for a free consultation on how we can help reverse the challenges you face as a conventional or organic grower so you can increase your bottom line and become a better sustainable farmer. Contact us today at 559-564-1236 or visit our website at www.callnrg.com. Soil and Crop, putting nature to work for you.
Lawmakers in both the House and the Senate want the president to roll back the new Waters of the U.S. rule. Farm News reporter Michael Clements shares more.
The Senate recently followed action by the House of Representatives, approving a resolution to repeal the new Waters of the U.S. rule. Courtney Briggs, American Farm Bureau Federation Senior Government Affairs Director, says the action highlights how burdensome the new rule is for farmers and ranchers.
Last week, the Senate voted to also repeal the WOTUS rule using the Congressional Review Act, and they did that with 54 senators voting in support of that, with 5 Democrats coming across the aisle to support this resolution. And this really goes to show how troubling this rule is, that a majority of Congress wants to see it repealed.
The resolution now heads to President Biden's desk, where Briggs says it faces a likely veto.
President Biden has already stated that he intends to veto this resolution. And unfortunately, it sounds like he is not going to follow the will of Congress to repeal this rule. It was a commitment that he made during his campaign, and we think that he does not intend to change course there.
With the veto, the rule will remain in 48 states, pending other litigation and a Supreme Court decision.
In 2 states, the rule has been halted by a district court in Texas. We will be keeping an eye on another case in North Dakota that encompasses 24 states. And we will also be closely looking at the Supreme Court, as they will release a decision in the Sackett versus the EPA case sometime in the next few weeks.
Michael Clements, Washington.
Staffing and technology at USDA offices remains a big concern for producers and ag lawmakers. Florida Congressman Scott Franklin told USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack USDA service is not what it should be post-pandemic.
I don't know if we got folks still teleworking or what the situation is, yep. But we have phones that go unanswered because the people who they used to call aren't there answering the phones anymore.
Secretary Vilsack defended USDA's performance at a recent budget hearing, but admitted staffing is a problem.
Let's be clear about this. There were 6,500 fewer people working for the department when I came back. So we are in the process of trying to rebuild the workforce, number one. Number two, we track the work that's being done. Loans are being, there hasn't been a drop off in terms of the service to folks. In fact, I think our people at the FSA offices have done a remarkable job getting all of the disaster relief assistance out, getting the loans out, getting the CRP efforts out. They've really stepped up.
USDA is asking for 4,700 new employees in fiscal 24, but Vilsack says technology is also a problem.
When I got this job first, I asked to send an email to all of our employees. I was told I couldn't do that. I had to send 17 emails because we had 17 systems. Mr. Chairman, we're still working on this.
Vilsack says USDA headquarters is developing a cloud system to improve its efficiency with funds requested in a 2024 budget. Republican Senators John Bozeman, John Thune, and Mitch McConnell are all leading an effort to permanently repeal the death tax. The Death Tax Repeal Act would permanently repeal the federal estate tax, more commonly known as the death tax. Senator Bozeman says the death tax hangs over too many family agriculture operations and small businesses as a potential destroyer of generations worth of work and investment. Senator Thune adds he will continue to do everything in his power to remove these roadblocks for family businesses and repeal the death tax once and for all. The legislation also has the backing from a majority of Senate Republicans and is supported by more than 150 members of the Family Business Coalition and 111 members of the Family Business Estate Tax Coalition, which includes the American Farm Bureau Federation. Senate Majority Leader McConnell says that Washington Democrats need to recognize the economic damage they've inflicted and join Republicans in ending this harmful tax. All average retail fertilizer prices were down from last month in the fourth full week of March of 2023, that according to sellers surveyed by DTN. However, after weeks of prices for several fertilizers being considerably lower, only one fertilizer, anhydrous, was substantially less expensive. The nitrogen fertilizer was 5% lower compared to last month and had an average price of $1,026 a ton. A new report by the American Gas Association on natural gas usage by U.S. agriculture shows how important this product is to the industry. It is especially true with economies dependent upon agriculture and the various subsectors. The report analyzed the natural gas consumption and economic impacts of U.S. crops, livestock, food processors, and agrochemical sectors of the U.S. economy. The findings in the analysis are based on data from the U.S. Energy Information Administration and federal economic data embedded in the in-plan economic model. Here are a few important figures from the report. The U.S. agriculture sector is a major part of the economy. It provides 5 million direct jobs. In addition, agriculture contributes $437 billion to the U.S. gross domestic product. Accounting for indirect suppliers and induced expenditures, the U.S. agriculture sector supports 17.2 million jobs and approximately $1.75 trillion in U.S. GDP. Just five of the many agricultural subsectors consumed 2.06 trillion cubic feet of natural gas in 2021, nearly equivalent to the total consumption of California, which is the second largest natural gas consuming state. The five subsectors are food processing, beef and dairy cattle production, grains production, fertilizer, and other agrochemicals. The U.S. agrochemical sector produces fertilizers and other agricultural chemicals for use on farms. In 2021, U.S. production of nitrogen fertilizer and other agrochemicals required the consumption of nearly 95 billion cubic feet of natural gas. Losing secure access to ample natural gas supplies would put the U.S. agrochemical sector in a precarious position relative to competitors. If the industry were to become suddenly uncompetitive relative to foreign producers, then the U.S. would need to import more of its ammonia feedstocks and finished fertilizer products. Bayer has announced a $65 million investment in its corn seed production facility in Ukraine as part of its commitment to Ukraine. The investment includes a new seed dryer, state-of-the-art agricultural field equipment, storage facilities, and a construction of two bomb shelters to ensure safety. Before the war, the company made a significant investment to establish corn seed production through a network of skilled Ukrainian farmers, and they had a seed processing site. The plant was inaugurated in 2018 and operates with around 100 on-site employees and about 250 to 300 seasonal workers. Bayer, with its plant, is one of the biggest investors in the region. This included the donation of more than 40,000 bags of corn and vegetable seeds, as well as healthcare product donations.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcast, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.